God in heaven, may you put your love in our hearts here on earth. How desperately we need you. How desperately, Jesus Christ, we need your love. We thank you, Lord, for 1 Corinthians 13 and the elements of your love that are listed for us here. Lord, we realize that each one of these elements of your love is, in the original Greek language, a verb. So every one of these qualities of love involve action. And yet that action will never occur in our life without the action of your Holy Spirit first occurring in our hearts. So Holy Spirit, pour out the love of Christ into each one of us, that we may love with the love that is listed here, that the actions of our life will reflect what we have learned here, that we may grow into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ, each one of us, and that as your people, together, we may do the work of the ministry, which is to bring Christ to an aching, hurting, lost, hungry, hopeless world. And we will give you all the glory, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The overall title for the series is The Supremacy of God's Love, and that's what we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's obviously known as the love chapter in the Bible. Today we are going to be talking about cultivating the kindness of Jesus Christ in our life. Cultivating the kindness of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 13, God takes a prism, as it were, and shoots the light of his love through it, and out the other side comes 15 different qualities of his love. We looked last time at the first element of his love, which is long-suffering. We looked at it in detail, and I'm not going to replow that territory. That message is available for you on CD. Today we're going to move on to the next element, and that is the fact that love, we read here in verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. It both has a long fuse, which is what the long suffering means, and it is also at the same time kind. That is the uniqueness of God's love. Let's talk about the nature then of the kindness that should be in our lives. When we read that love is kind, the first thing we should understand is, as Christian people, our kindness should be like God's. That's the first place to look. Our kindness should be like God's. The word kind here literally means useful, serving, gracious, and it carries the thought of, get this, active goodwill. Active goodwill. Kindness is a fundamental characteristic of God's love. If you look in the Bible, you're going to find a kind God. In Romans chapter 2, when Paul is talking about how God leads us to repentance, the King James says it's the love of God that leads a man to repentance, or the goodness. The New American Standard renders it this way in Romans 2:4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? What a wonderful God we serve. If you have turned from your sins to follow Christ, it's because the work of the Holy Spirit deep down inside of your heart has manifested the kindness of God to you in such a way that you have been wooed by his love, loving kindness, and decided that the most wonderful thing you can do with your life is give it to Jesus Christ. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance, and that's how we come to know the Lord. When Paul writes about the kindness of God in sending Christ and the Holy Spirit, we find it in Titus. Can you turn in your Bible to Titus chapter 3, verse 4? The kindness of God is involved in sending Christ as well as granting the Holy Spirit to those who receive him. And again, as we talk about the kindness of God, we're really talking about the kindness of our Father. Our Father in heaven who is perfect. Thank God that we have a Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. That's the kindness we're talking about. Titus chapter 3 verse 4 says, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared," the kindness of God sent Christ, "not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ." That is the kindness of our God. Not only to send Christ to die for us on the cross, but to send His Holy Spirit to live within us every hour of every day on top of it. The kindness and the love of our God. It's right there. Peter tells us that we long for the pure milk of the Word of God that we might grow thereby, because we have tasted of the kindness of the Lord. So why do I love my Bible? I love my Bible because I know that the author, who is God, who wrote it, is kind. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, in the New American Standard Version, it says, "If you have tasted of the kindness of the Lord." 1 Peter 2, 3, in the King James, renders it gracious. Gracious, kindness. It is the kindness of our God that causes us to long for the pure milk of the Word of God. And that isn't milk as it relates to babies. That's a different part of the Bible. Here it's talking about the pure Word of God, not watered down, not sermonettes for Christianettes, but the real deal for real people who really love Christ. And we long for the Word because the Lord is so kind to us, and we find that kindness in the Word. As we study the Old Testament, which we do in the middle of the week here at this church every week, the Old Testament repeatedly speaks of God in terms of loving kindness. Now, before the Bible, there was no such word. Did you know that? That word was put together for the writer in the Bible. Loving kindness is something that is a word that is not known outside of Christianity. It is a biblical word to describe the love of God. In fact, if you write loving kindness, you type along in your word processor, the spell checker will probably stop you and underline it in red and tell you it's wrong and misspelled. It doesn't know what to do with it. Word processors aren't saved these days. In Psalm 26, verse 3, the psalmist writes and he says, "For thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and therefore I have walked in truth," because of the loving kindness of God. In Psalm 63, verse 3, it says, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." You want to know something that's very true? His loving kindness is better than life. Life on planet Earth has its ups and downs, good times, bad times, good weeks, bad months, good years, bad years. But overall, life on planet Earth is just enough to make you want to go to heaven forever when you die or get raptured. So, because your loving kindness is better than life here, my lips will praise you. It's godliness with contentment that is great gain. So when we talk about the nature of our kindness, first and foremost, what should it be like? God's, our Father in heaven. Secondly, it should be spiritual. Our kindness should be spiritual. By that I mean, since it is a verb, it should seek to relieve spiritual burdens in others. In Galatians 6:2, it says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." I think of the kindness of Christ extended spiritually. I'm thinking specifically of a trip we took to Israel And we went up to the caves where the demoniac legion, the man with 1,000 demons inside of him, I stood and walked around those caves and the embankment that runs down into the Sea of Galilee where the pigs ran after Jesus cast out the demons and sent them into the pigs and made the first deviled ham. And I'm thinking seriously about the fact that here was a man who was so tormented. He was so tormented, he lived in these caves, and they didn't know what to do with him, so they would bind it with chains. And because he had so many demons, 1,000 demons inside of him, it was nothing for the supernatural power of the demons to break the chains. So this poor guy would be in the caves, chained up, then he'd break the chains off, then he'd rip off his clothes and run around naked, and he'd be in there with rocks cutting himself, and then terrorizing everyone. Naked, cut, bleeding, running around the hillside, terrorizing, obviously, the guys who were raising the pigs. So Jesus comes along, and in an act of kindness, he could have left the man like that. Could have said, shame on you for dabbling in such wickedness that you got yourself so demon-possessed. But he didn't. He went to this man and he freed him from 1,000 demons. And we read in our Bibles that the man was found, I love this, clothed and sitting next to Jesus for the first time in his right mind. And he said to Jesus, please let me go with you. Please let me just join your team. And Jesus said, no, I want you to stay right here, and I want you to tell people what I've done for you. You stay here and share the gospel. That's spiritual kindness. Kindness should be exercised in a spiritual way to others. Jesus is so kind to us. I think one of the best ways we can do it is when someone says, pray for me, to do it. It's so easy to say, oh, you got it, brother. I'll pray for you. And then you go away, get involved in your life, and you forget. How many times have you done that? Promise to pray for somebody, and then you don't. Then you bump into them at church, and they say, oh, thank you for praying for me. The Lord really worked. And you're like, praise the Lord, he's good, isn't he? You just totally avoid the subject. The best thing to do is if someone says, you know, will you pray for me? Just realize how we are and do it on the spot. Then you won't forget. Then when they come running down the aisle and say, thank you for praying for me, you can say, you are welcome. What did God do? You don't have to have that stupid feeling inside. And you can be part of what God has done. That's one of the best ways we can show kindness to one another. I like what Ernest Blevins said. He said, the best exercise for strengthening the heart is reaching down and lifting people up. And that's kindness. I want you to stop and ask yourself, have you made a kind attempt to relieve someone's spiritual burden this week? Or if you were simply just too caught up in your own thing? Or maybe you were just waiting for someone to come along and be kind to you. Christ is kind to us. Our Father in heaven is kind to us. May He fill our hearts with His love that we may be kind to others and stop wherever the Spirit may prompt us. And that's really the key. You can just be walking along and the Spirit can prompt you to show an act of kindness. It can be to buy a card, send it out somewhere through the mail. It can be to stop and email somebody. It can be to pick up a telephone. That's as easy as your mobile phone if you have one. There's just so many ways we can show kindness. And I guarantee you, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, we will. And it doesn't have to be some magnanimous thing to qualify. It can be just a smile, a look, a call, a hug. But whatever it is, let it come from God and let it come through you. Kindness will seek to relieve spiritual burdens. And you know something else? Let me add another thought to that. Kindness will seek to use your ears in the process. Think of your ears. last time you saw them in the mirror? What was your impression of your ears? Why did I have to get such big ones? Or why are mine so small? Or how come I have these long lobes? Maybe I should put an earring in there. God did that on purpose. Well, I don't know what your impression of your ears is, but I do know one thing. Kindness wants to use your ears. The reason for that is because there are so many today who want to talk about themselves, but there are very few who want to listen. Just sit and listen. That is one of the kindest things you can do. To just sit and listen to a person. To say, how are you? And then just sit back and give them all the time in the world to answer and actually listen. And when they're done, bless them by summing up. Now let me sum up. I think this is what I heard you say. And that is so rare that if you do that, people will be so touched. Because in general, we live in a world where you talk to people and when you're done, they just get right back to what their thing was. They don't have any ears for you, but they want you to have ears for them. So it starts with you. It starts with me. Kindness wants to use our ears. In Proverbs 18:13, reading from the NIV, it says, "He who answers before listening, that is folly and his shame." So the Bible says, shame on you if you just go blabbing off at the mouth and you never listen to anyone. Shame on you. That is a shameful thing in your life. You should be able to listen and then answer, then listen and then answer. You know what we call that as Christians? Fellowship. Fellowship. And it's one of the sweetest parts of the Christian life. Real fellowship is. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. Proverbs 18:13. There's an old poem about kindness that I like. His thoughts were slow, his words were few, and never formed to glisten. But he was a joy to all his friends. You should have heard him listen. I like that. You should have heard him listen. Kindness will seek to relieve spiritual burdens, seek to use your ears. And kindness, believe it or not, will seek to use your tongue. Your tongue. There's so much kindness you can show with your tongue. A kind tongue can have a major, see if this isn't true, a major effect on the relationships in your life. A kind tongue. When Solomon was passing off the scene and handing the kingdom over to his son, Rehoboam. Rehoboam went to the elders in 2 Chronicles 10:6 and he says, okay, you older men who've served with my father, you're the wise men that have helped to rule the kingdom. Can you tell me how I should treat the people as I take over as king? And the wise old men who stood before Solomon, before Rehoboam, said this. They spoke to him saying in 2 Chronicles 10:7, if you are kind to these people and please them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. Then he went to the young men. And he ignored the counsel of the elderly men, and he went to the young men, his peers. And he said, how should I speak to these people? And they said, let them have it! Let them have it! Just blast away at them! That's how to get service out of these people! You know what he did? He split the kingdom. He split the kingdom, and it remains split throughout the history of the children of Israel because he refused to speak kindly to the people of God. That's where it started. In Proverbs 10:11, it says, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. I love that scripture. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. I love it when I can walk away from a person and just marvel and say, how deep is the well anyway? Every time I'm around this person, I receive so much. I just wonder, how deep is the well into Christ? Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. And for you ladies, Proverbs 11:26 speaks of the virtuous woman, and it says she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Fellas, grab this one. Memorize it. If you can't quote another scripture in the Bible, this is the day to memorize a scripture so you can quote it. Proverbs 31:26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. So you can phrase it something like this. Paraphrase it would be, oh hon, is that the law of kindness I hear upon your tongue? Let me ask you a question. Do those who know you best, and there are those in your life who know you best, do those who know you best know you by the law of kindness on your tongue? Kindness, it is such a wonderful thing. And our tongues should be found surrendered to the law of kindness. Should be like God's. Our kindness should be spiritual. But also our kindness should be material. A display of compassion for material needs of others or some material manifestation of how God has led you to give. For example, you're in church and you hear about somebody in church who's hurting. And it's given to you in confidence. You find out they're hungry. They don't have enough money to buy food. Or they have a certain bill that they have to pay or a certain medical need. And you hear about it, and the Lord touches your heart, so you show up on their doorstep with a whole bunch of food. Or you show up at the hospital, and you slip them a little card, and God's blessed you, so you bless them. You slip them a little card that's going to help them financially with the medical bill that they're facing. These are ways that materially we can show kindness to people. Jesus, in Matthew 25, can you turn to Matthew 25, verse 34? Jesus gave us a list of things that will be used in that day when we stand before Him as an index to whether or not we were truly His people or not in this lifetime. Matthew 25, 34. Then the king will say to those who are at his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, here it comes, you did it to who? Me. So the acts of loving kindness, the acts of kindness that we show to other people, especially the brethren, the Lord looks down upon it, and when we are good to His people, when we are kind to His people, He takes it personally, and He says, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. I remember when the Jim Baker scandal hit the news and everybody was so repulsed, rightly so. And not long after that, I became friends with Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son. We were talking one day and I said, what have you been up to, Franklin? He said, well, Recently, the Lord laid it on my heart to start visiting Jim Baker in prison. My initial reaction was, why would you want to... I didn't say this out loud. Why would you want to visit Jim Baker in prison? What a crumb. Why don't you visit someone else? And I didn't say that out loud. And I just sat there and I listened. And I said, so why are you visiting Jim Baker in prison? And he said, because it occurred to me, maybe nobody else will. Everyone is so disgusted with him. It occurred to me that it's very possible no one will visit him in prison, and he will sit there with no hope for the future. He said, so if God can use me to show him the error of his ways and let him know that he's still loved by God, even though he royally blew it, then I want to be that vessel to be used. I have every intention, he said, to continue to visit him in prison. And when Jim Baker got out of prison, he repented and quietly started a little ministry, helping out poor people and seeing them get food and things like that. And that was in large degree due to the visits that were paid to him by Franklin Graham. That's kindness. That's kindness. So the nature of our kindness. Now, who should be the recipients of our kindness? I would say it starts with our family. Recipients of our kindness. It should start with your family. It should start in the home. Let me ask you a question. Are you known as a kind person in your home? Or are you kind in church and just a terror at home? There's a lot of people like that, you know? They come to church and they're just like so amiable and lovable and, you know, it's the old angel in church, devil at home syndrome. Are you like that? Kindness should start in the home. Are you known as a kind person in the home? Husbands, can your wives describe you, if given a pop quiz, as being kind? We have a video camera, and we're going to be interviewing people as you leave church today, asking you if you husbands are known, asking the wives if you're known as being a kind man. And then we're going to show it in the announcements next week. I'm just kidding. See how nervous that makes you? Why is that? It shouldn't be that way. So if you're not nervous, thank God. If you are, do something about it. Wives, are you kind to your husbands? Wives, are you kind to your husbands? Are you known in your home to be kind to your husband? Children, are you kind to your parents? See, it should start in the home. Brothers and sisters, are you kind to your brothers and sisters? Let me ask you a question. And is it more than just a feeling? Because the kindness we're talking about here is more than just a kind feeling. It issues forth in an act. My son the other day, who is now a Marine and out in 29 Palms, California, he sent me a picture of him and I. It was the kindest gesture. And there he is. It was on the day of his graduation from boot camp. And he's sitting there. He's allowed now for the first time in the area where you can buy all the goodies. And he's sitting there eating some soft frozen yogurt. And he's just relishing it. And the picture was taken by his sister. And I'm sitting off on the side looking at it like, when are you going to give me a bite? It's really a cute picture. But the thing that touched me more than the picture itself was the fact that he took the time to email it to me and say, Dad, do you have this picture? And he wanted me to have it because it was a picture of the two of us and he was expressing his love to me. And I thought, my, the Marines have done a world of good for this boy of mine. But that's the way it is. It can be as simple as that. First, it starts with our family, and then it goes out to our friends. Let me say to you today something you might forget, and that is simply this. Don't forget to be kind to those who are kind to you. You have those friends in your life that are kind to you. And it's easy to forget to be kind back to them. And sometimes we just kind of take them for granted so that we expect it after a while. And we forget to stop and seek the Lord on how we can be kind to them. Are you kind to your friends who are kind to you? Or are you the kind of friend who only calls when you need something? Like, listen, hi, it's me. And, they're holding the phone out going, guess who? And the whole family yells out in unison. They all know because you're known to that family as the one who only calls when you need something. Are you like that? You see, we have been granted from our gracious God friends who are kind to us. It may be only one. It may be two, it may be three. But are we kind back to them? That's the question. That's the way to live our lives. Don't be the type of friend who only calls when you need something. You know something? Kindness brings forth its own reward. You know what it is? A kind person will seldom be without friends. A kind person will seldom be without friends. Those people that tell me, I don't have any friends and I can't make any friends and I come to this church and I don't have any friends in this church, I'm thinking, A kind person will have many friends. The Bible says he that shows himself to be friendly will have many friends. So, kindness. Do you realize that kindness is often on the cutting edge of evangelism? There are those who are so busy being so spiritual with what is supposed to come out of their mouths, evangelistically, that they fail to give any attention whatsoever to their hearts and their manner of life. So they want God to use them to bring people to Christ. So they're always running around going, do you know Christ? You know, especially the wrong moment, just hopping right in there. Hi, do you know Christ? Sorry to butt in the conversation, but do you know Christ? There's people like that. But you know something? I believe kindness is often on the cutting edge of evangelism. To simply model and live the kindness of our Father in heaven that we don't experience on every corner, at every job, every coffee pot at break in life. We rarely, in fact, experience it, unless it's from one of God's people who is under the influence of His Holy Spirit. And that has a way of being so winsome that people see, you know what? This person claims to know Christ and they're actually different. They're actually different, for real. Frederick Faber said, kindness has converted more sinners than zeal, eloquence, or learning. And I believe that's true. When Stanley went off from, I believe it was originally Chicago and then New York, to find David Livingstone in the heart of Africa. He was a newspaper man. He wrote of how he stayed with Livingstone way deep in Africa for 4 months. And he kept waiting for Livingstone to stop and turn to him and look up at him from his work and go, do you know Christ? And he never did it. Instead, Livingstone just went about doing what he always did with the African people, ministering to them, showing them the love of Christ. And it is in his exciting account, How I Found Livingstone, Stanley wrote these words, his religion is not of the theoretical kind, but is a constant, earnest, sincere practice. It is neither demonstrative nor loud, but manifests in itself in a quiet, practical way. In him, his relationship with God exhibits its loveliest features. It governs his conduct not only toward his servants, but towards the natives and all who come in contact with him. End quote. All who come in contact with him. See, Livingstone was a man of God who permitted the Lord to actually live through him. That's what made him the man he was. Consequently, his life was a life of victory and a life of blessing to others. By sheer influence and impact of his virtue and kindness, Livingston directed Stanley to Jesus Christ. By the love and the kindness of God in Christ. There was no secret what Livingston believed. His gospel was known. So from there, the main big thing was to be kind and loving. Kindness should start in our families, extend to our friends, and then ultimately it should go out to our foes. Those people we don't like. Do you have anybody in your life you don't like? Oh, no, not me. I'm a Christian. I know Christ. Do you have anybody in your life you don't like? Well, Jesus said in Luke 6:35, but love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the highest. For your Father in heaven, get this, is kind to the unthankful and the evil. That's the way to go. To follow our Father in heaven. I have said it so many times, I'll say it again. God loves to save the people we hate. It's just one of the most convicting thoughts ever, but it's so true. He loves to save the people we hate. The people that really bug us. He loves them. He wants to save them. And that can be very upsetting. Because typically the people that we don't like, that really bug us, we have our reasons for why we're bugged. And the list is usually brief or long. It's usually long. Love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the highest, for he is kind even to the unthankful and evil. Reminds me of a man named Mr. Brown I read about. Was a very fine Christian man, but one day his horse happened to get out of his pasture and into his neighbor's cornfield. Mr. Brown's neighbor was very angry and he called the police. They caught the horse and made Mr. Brown pay a fine before he could get his horse back. A day or two afterward, Mr. Brown met his neighbor and the neighbor was still very angry. It's amazing how people can just brood in their anger. He was still very angry. And he said, if I ever catch your horse in my cornfield again, I'm going to tell you something right now. I'll call the police again. You better keep a handle on that horse. Neighbor, said Mr. Brown, can I tell you something? Yeah, go ahead. Well, not long ago, I looked out my window in the night and I saw your cows grazing in my pasture. You know what I did with them? I drove them out, and I personally shut them into your feed lot where they were supposed to be. And if your cows ever get into my pasture again, you know what I'm going to do with them? I'm going to do the same thing. Mr. Brown was so kind that his neighbor was so sorry he had been angry and mean. What would have happened if Mr. Brown had been angry too and said if his cows ever got into his pasture, he would call the police and do the same thing to him? What would have happened to his witness? It would have been blown completely. But instead, Mr. Brown's neighbor saw the love of God and Jesus Christ in him. Do you think Jesus would have called the police if the horse got in his yard? In fact, I don't recall reading the Gospels where Jesus ever called the police on somebody that did something evil to him. Instead, he loved his enemies and he taught us to do the same. See, here's the deal. People in general respond to kindness. They really do. So you're going to find that one of the most difficult things to give away in your life is going to be kindness. The reason why? People tend to return it. If you are kind to others, they tend to return it. So it's hard to really give it away, isn't it? Because it comes back to you. The last thing I would say to you is the urgency of our kindness. If there's any kind words to be spoken, let us speak them now. If there are any kind acts to be done, let us do them now. while our loved ones are still with us. There is an urgency in that sense about our kindness. If there's some deeds to be done, a call to be made, an email to be sent, a letter to be written, do it now while your loved ones are still here. I have a picture my sister just sent me of my dad, who died a few weeks ago. He went to heaven. Dwayne Elton Bond. Funniest man I ever knew in my whole life. Most absolute genius with humor. None of it's rubbed off on me, unfortunately. But this was my dad. You know what he wanted? He told my brother not long before he died, he said, "Will you ask your brother to write me a letter?" "Yes, Dan," he called me, because originally he was from the Midwest like you guys, and he said, "Want to call me Dan, even though it's Danny." He said, "Will you ask Dan to write me a letter?" And I sat down one day and I wrote him a letter, word processor, put pictures in it and everything else, you know, the dog, the snow and all of that, and tried to make it all fun for him, made up all these lies about the pictures and, you know, all these great stories going on, just the type of thing he would do. And the last letter I got from my brother, he said, "Dad's got your letter," and he's just delighted with it. And right after that, on a January, wintry January morning, he went to heaven. There's no more time to be kind to my dad. Those opportunities are gone. You know, in this last year, we've seen many loved ones go, haven't we? There's no more time to be kind to them. But we're still here. So let's be kind to each other. Let's be kind as our Father in heaven is kind to us. And we will find the kindness returned. And guess what? You'll even find God will start using you with people with the gospel to lead others to Christ. Because more than just having a message in your mouth, you have a kindness in your life. And that'll tend to melt their hearts and make them want to know the Lord who has saved you and melted yours. Jesus, we thank you that there is such a thing as the kindness of Christ and that it comes from you, that we cannot work it up. It must be poured in by your Holy Spirit, and yet we read that your Spirit is poured out into our hearts. In the book of Romans, you lavish your Spirit upon us. We read it today in Titus, and we thank you, Lord, that you are working in us to be kind to one another and to those we meet, even all the way out to our enemies. We pray that you would use us to share the love and kindness of God in Jesus Christ and the salvation he brings, that you would open the doors, that we would step through them, and that we would do those little acts of kindness, if it's even emailing a picture to a loved one, as you lead us. And we will give you all the glory as you make us a kind people. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen.